念出的答案是，我放了那一路明明也不在。
Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and on this program, I pursue the emerging spiritual revolution that is happening in this country and around the world. And one of my favorite guests is with me tonight. Her name is Almeen. Her website is Spiritual Journey. She also has the School of Applied Mysticism. She's an alchemist. She's a Nagual. And we're going to talk tonight particularly about the interstellar star systems and cultures and cosmic realities. So, Almeen, thank you for being a guest.
Thank you so much, Alan. It's a delight to be with you again.
Yes, you are one of my favorite interdimensional travelers. And
thank you very much.
Because no one I've met is as cognizant of these other worlds. You seem to really slip in and out of them so easily. Is there a secret to that?
There is indeed a secret to that one, and it started for me to intensify in 2005, and the traveling between the worlds, as you put it, the secret to it is the stillness of mind. When one has a dialogue in the head that is rambling away, it takes most of your energy, and so it requires resources to be able to do that, and they're available once the mind gets to be silenced.
The other thing I think you have is the willingness to trust what comes to you. A lot of people can still the mind, and they get all sorts of other things coming to them, but they don't believe it. They don't trust it. There's something that with you that you've opened up to these realities and welcomed them. Is that fair to say?
It is. In fact, initially I welcomed them into my home, and it was like Grand Central Station. We had mystical kingdoms, you know, in one side and out the other. And so I just said, enough, no longer in my home. And my home now is a place where there's more privacy. The world became very, very real, and the veil between them very thin.
But you trusted something. You believed in it. Somehow you had the stability of consciousness to know that these worlds were real. That's what I feel is so important about your work. Do you know what I mean?
Well, Alan, I did many years of work in as more of a Nagual, and I worked with just small groups of apprentices. And during that time, it is absolutely true, the archetypal spirits of nature, the angelic kingdoms and so on, they did indeed become very real. And later, that stood me in good stead, having that under my belt, so to speak.
Mm. So now you're taking all this knowledge and all these experiences, and you're starting schools, a school of alchemy, a school of mysticism. Tonight we're going to talk about the interstellar mysticism, which really sounds fascinating, because not only is there the earth mysticism, particularly in the Western civilization, there's mysticism that are many planets throughout the universe, and they're all, I think, have their own flavor and brand. So what can you tell us about the 24 star races and the 12 known races and their version of mysticism?
Yes, I'll be happy to tell you about that. It actually began with you, strangely enough, Alan. You don't
with
know
me?
That one, but it did.
With
and
me?
What it was
with you,
is
sir?
That, yes, with you.
Okay.
You had me on your show on the 1st of September in 2009, and because of your interest in crop glyphs,
Right.
I had never paid any attention to crop lifts. And knowing that I was going to be on your show and wanting to prepare something on crop lifts, I started to interpret the glyphs, because interpreting these, you know, sacred records from the hidden libraries of the world has been what I've been doing for many years.
Yes.
And so I started to interpret. Some of the symbols were very known to me because I'd seen them before in those records. And as I did, I realized they were made by some of these star races. And if you remember, and the folks can certainly go to your archives on the 1st of September 2009 and take a peek at it, but our interview sparked off something. Soon after, I went to Ireland. And when I went to Ireland, many of the races started to appear to some of my students, my class, and myself. And that's where their messages began. And it's been, for me, a journey of total discovery. They have been giving us protocols. They've been giving us their philosophy, artwork. For instance, they've been giving us some of their music. And if folks want to go to the Institute of Applied Mysticism.com, one of the musical pieces that came from the center of the earth, actually, it's not from the star races, but it's the key to unlock their music, is given there, and people can listen to it for free. So if they go there, and it's called Clonavik 2, I believe is what it's called, Clonavik being the old name for the center of the earth. So their music and everything just started pouring in right after you and I had that show together.
Wow. That, I did not know that. I did not know that I inspired that. So, I mean, there's so... I mean, you're discovering so much. It's like you've expanded the possibilities of who we are with these cosmic discoveries. So do you want to talk a little bit about what these races are saying to us now at this time?
Yes, I'd be happy to.
Yes,
they're
please.
They're basically giving us, first of all, tools. And they're saying that it is time to take your place as humanity among the star races. But first of all, you need to bridge reality. So you need to be able to see us. You need to be able to hear us. So some of the mystical techniques they're giving us is to open that faculty within the human being's potential.
Mm.
And incidentally, the course starts. We have a three-month online course that starts on the 1st of February, 2010. So, you know, from where the show is being recorded, just a little bit more than a month away. And people can take a look at some of the month-by-month curricula that we've prepared. Well, prepared is not really that we've received for them. But it does give tools to open those faculties. It furthermore says that you're held very tightly in a matrix. And the matrix is made of your belief systems. And then they give us, in conjunction with their music, they give us the keys to unlock the belief systems that hold us prison, in a prison of form and physicality, so that once that's released, we can break free, and that's when we can start to travel between the worlds.
So can you give me an example? Because I would like to break free and start to travel between those worlds. Maybe I already do, I probably do, but more consciously, how can we work, like, right now to do something like that? That would be kind of exciting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it really is. My goodness. The students that have been with me in my classes over these last few months, some of them, like the Oracle Aoife and also the Oracle Karen, they've been accessing some of the information that has been coming in. Our sister Shelley and Alana and so on have done the same. But Karen has received the most exquisite paintings. You look at them and they just completely alter you. And she's received a painting. She's an artist and has received a painting from each of these star races. Then we've been receiving music from them. And Paul, who's also known as Ephraim Bile, is assisting me to put this music down because many of the techniques they give require this music. And Alan, do you remember when you were in my class in New York? You were very busy that weekend, but you did manage to come and visit us a little bit.
Yes. That
there was this key in the crop glyphs of Wiltshire.
Yes.
And I think they call it sanctuary or something. But I took one look at it, and I knew that I'd seen something like that before in one of the hidden libraries and their musical keys. That musical key, once I studied it, it actually started to unlock the other music. So you're asking how does one do it?
Yes.
One of the ways you do it is indeed with their what's called musical elixirs.
Musical and, elixirs, like a elixir you would take, yes.
Now I know that, you know, I made you a musical elixir. That's a personal gift that I gave to you because of just the wonderful friendship that we have, Alan. But
And I really appreciate that, Almeen. Thank you for doing that.
Oh, you're very welcome. But in addition to that, as the planetary elixirs that are given, what makes a musical piece an elixir is the combination that is put together within it in the alchemical frequency potencies that goes into the music. In other words, if you have music that has a specific, now this little bit is new, I've said some of this before, but it is a bit that's new. When you have equal amounts of white frequencies and black frequencies in a musical piece combined together like an alchemical equation, it cancels a specific illusion. The flavor of the music, so to speak, the tonality of the music, tells you in which area it's going to eliminate illusion. Like personal elixirs eliminate illusion in your personal life for a specific person. And incredible miracles in producing these sound elixirs. But in fact, you know, you and I have our BBS show at the same time. So
I know.
You and I are speaking, my show is also going on. And what they're speaking of is there's an interview with my sound producer and also our wonderful visual expert, Rogier, and they're being interviewed on my show regarding the miracles of the sound. But the sound keys, like the one that was found in the Wiltshire crop glyphs, and I believe that one was in 08, in summer, they are one way to unlock these abilities. There are a couple of other ways, but this is one of them.
Well, I like what you're saying about the music and the pictures that one of your students did as totally changing the thought processes. I mean, you didn't quite say that, but I get that you're changing the fabric of reality itself by encountering these sensorial alterations, and then people start to think differently, and then they're actually more open to receive the higher messages. And I'm glad it's coming through art, because art has always been a vehicle for transformation, and I think it's a return to the time where the artist is recognized as a prophet. This is where we're moving into.
Oh, and Alan, that is beautiful.
Well, it has to be.
What
because
you're saying there, this is beautiful.
The artist is the visionary. You know, Ezra Pound, he wasn't very well liked, but he said the artist is the antenna of the human race. So they get things, they get images and impressions actually before it's even understood. And then, see, because the artist has cognized the level of reality, other people can recognize that, because it's activated that potential inside the human being. Does that make sense?
Oh, it's absolutely wonderful what you're saying. Because
yes,
it is so true. I experienced art coming in from the interstellar planetary systems, and every time it hits me like an exquisite waterfall of sound and color, and I feel completely altered by it. You know, Alan, we just yesterday, actually, started to put up a page on Almin Wisdom Twitter. So if they go to Almin Wisdom Twitter, and you did give my website name earlier, the spiritualjourneys.com, we'll also guide them there. But in Almin Wisdom Twitter, their poetry and literature has been pouring in. And we are giving you a page a day on the Almin Wisdom Twitter of their poetry with the glyphs, what the glyphs look like, because they also are like exquisite little visual compact images, and then what it sounds like, and then we translate it into English, and I've done my very best to keep the flavor of their poetry, which is unlike anything I've seen, and there's subtle differences between each one. But each day we've been giving, starting yesterday, we will be giving interstellar poetry. So that's a place people can go as well.
Well, I think poetry, art, music, this is the higher form of information, because the thing about the arts is it goes deeper than the conscious mind. It touches the soul, and it touches the core of who we are. So if these planetary systems are sending us new realities, let's say, through the arts, this will change society and our culture if we just wake up and listen and pay attention and open up these facilities of appreciation.
And, you know, earlier you asked me, well, how does one accomplish these? And I had overlooked how profound art is in doing that. I have, you know, we received the alchemy from the angelic realms, and we have a one-month course actually starting on the 1st of the brand new year coming up, on the 1st of January, a one-month course called The Alchemy of the One, which is a form of what you call high alchemy. It's where the alchemist purifies himself to become part of the alchemical equation that he then produces. The alchemy leverages consciousness. It's one way to get us to the place where we are free to travel between the realms. The second way are mystical techniques, of which, you know, I started speaking right up front, where they give us tools and they give us images to work with, like mandalas and specific ceremonies that go with these mandalas. Those are mystical keys, and that is another way to do that. The third way to do it is in our third online institute, which currently is running, and it is for the Institute of Human Potential. But the third way to do it is to give information that you never had before. And in seeing something that's out of the boundaries of your normal perceptual field, it brings in a greater increase in luminosity and consciousness until you transfigure into higher and higher abilities. But the fourth one that took me clear by surprise, because I never realized in receiving this information from them, the accentuated emphasis on art. And you've summed it up, Alan, exactly. You experience true art, and you're changed. I took my little 10-year-old, you know, I'm a single mom. I've adopted this beautiful little Cree Indian girl, and she's 10 years old now. And I took her yesterday to see Avatar.
And oh, how was that?
Oh, my stars. You feel completely altered when you leave the movie theater in an incredibly positive way. It has raised the bar for standards of fantasy film like Star Wars, and it's completely raised the bar. There's not one part of it that for a second is not believable, and it is a work of art, Alan.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Art has reached a new level. So, you know, for a long time, art has been pushed aside and say, oh, isn't that pretty or it's beautiful. But it hasn't been integrated in a deep way into the culture because people have been so left-brain materialistic. And now I think we're coming to the time where these inspirations, well, like movies, like song, will be much more a vital part of really who we are. They're not just entertainment, I guess I'm saying. Art is not entertainment. Art is information, like you're saying, that changes who we are as human beings and our reality. That's what's so exciting.
And you feel it in every cell of your body, so it's not like just, you know, informational input on one level. Art is multi-level. You know, can I share something with you? As you were talking, I was really trying to feel what you were saying. But I kept hearing an angelic voice. And this has happened a lot, that when I'm on the radio shows, they want to say something. And so, if you don't mind, there's like another guest that wants to come on your show,
I
Alan.
I love that.
I love when that happens because
and opening up like that is very exciting for me. So please feel invited, all your friends.
All right. Well, there is an angelic being, male, that wants to speak, and he is saying, Harach esetve, binish ekrat manur have, eskra arech basla, ishnaya satu. Amerek. He's saying that in the same great way that in the early Middle Ages, a renaissance of vast proportions happened in every aspect of life, being led or spearheaded, there's not really a word for his word, but spearheaded by the arts. We are experiencing it now. Mirek etre irach usarak basa u arechne sparuchna masha siniak yakach na bauruk beret arat usit kilish arak. It says that because of the interstellar art that has poured into the consciousness of man, it makes an alchemical equation that has brought about a bursting force of the renaissance of art, and all other categories of life will follow. And he's referring to the movie that we saw last night, because when we left there, my 10-year-old said to me, Mommy, other movies will never be the same. Why can't people make something this special?
I'm going out to see it this week, so thank you. Wow.
Oh, so, I'm so glad you're going to see that. I bet you'll like it.
So this being that was just talking through you, that's a very interesting observation, the fact that we are moving into a new renaissance where art will dictate the transformation of the culture like it did in the Renaissance with people like Giotto. You know, Giotto is so key in the development of the early Renaissance, and you know why? Because he put feeling and emotion back into the human form. People were real people. They were not just stick figures. They were not just religious figures. They were people who felt and interacted with other people. And that began the renaissance of the individual. And we're still part of it. But this, now you're saying this new level is occurring. And I think it has to do with understanding the value of our subjective reality. And I think that's what you're so good at. You never doubt yourself. And you're a great example for other people learning that about themselves.
Well, this information that both you and he have given me is starting to make sense of something that I've been experiencing in the last, well, I'd say it started about a day and a half ago. Every day of my life, there's a piece of myself that I have to bring out of the illusion. And for a day and a half, I've been instructed to eliminate everything that sets standards, because life is about to surpass all standards, like standards of what we think of as beauty, standards of what we think of as parenting or, you know, anything that we do, if we go to what our best was before, even our own best, or the standards that the world imposes of what is affluence, a lot of folks right now don't have money, but they will find they have more family time, that life has been reduced to more simplicity, and that is a wealth in and of itself. It's just a different standard.
Right.
So for days, I've been working on getting rid of standards in my life, and of course, that's something that will keep us back if indeed this renaissance is about to take place.
It is already taking place. We are feeling the beginning of it. It's going to sweep the planet and the star systems we're involved with. So it is taking place. Know that, Almeen. It is.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
And so you're saying that these old standards have kept us back because there are only ideas of reality. And I think what we're doing now, we're really at the cutting edge of the unknown. Let's call it that.
Before, we have wanted to make life known. And we've done it with belief systems, which has failed us terribly because you cannot put the ocean in a box. And I believe that your show is aptly known, Alan, every time that you and I have an interview of any kind, this incredible information comes through you. There is a new reality, and the new reality is to embrace the contradiction of life, which means to embrace the unknown.
Is that what the contradiction of life? What do you mean by the contradiction of life? That's an interesting term.
Well, everything that can be defined is unreal. Because everything that can be defined is often defined by what it's not. For instance, form. Form is because it isn't somewhere else. But even its opposite, which is formlessness, cannot really be real, and that is simply because of the fact that it's defined by its opposite. It's formless and this is form. Anything that has opposites is not an eternal part of existence. So when you actually get into the reality, and if I can just add this, on the 1st of February 2010, we are not only starting the interstellar mysticism, but we are rerunning one of the most powerful courses, which is the science of immortality and incorruptibility.
Oh, and yes. I wanted to talk about that a little bit, too, so thank you for bringing that up.
Yes. Well, that one, the whole first month to prepare the participant to enter into immortality, the entire first month is spent with the 144 what's called illuminations that we received in record from the God Kingdom. And what they do is to strip our illusions until there you just truly live in this timeless space where life unfolds ever new but changelessly. So it's a total something that your mind cannot grasp, and then mind just sort of gives up.
But isn't that happening now? Aren't we doing that in this moment where we're walking into the unknown every second?
Yes, we are.
So,
and see, it's when we walk into the unknown, not trying to understand, that this incredible quality of life comes through us, this renaissance, like this movie Avatar, where you just know that you will never look at other movies the same again.
But when you talk about in your courses this science of immortality, I think you're also bringing through something else, the levels of initiation that people have to go through in order to get rid or free themselves from the past, right?
That's correct, Alan. The first month it removes, and then it starts also to put in realizations in the place of what is removed. And then you start to prepare yourself through knowledge of how beings through ages of existence have reached immortality by stepping off the wheel of life. But even stepping off the wheel of life isn't enough, because after multiple thousands of years, even that being needs to go further or they will start to age. And we are in a position where we can actually then go on to what's called incorruptibility. When I received that information from the God Kingdom and translated all these tablets and so on, I had no idea about incorruptibility. I had just gone through immortality, and it was a brand new concept for me. It is phenomenal.
Well, tell me, how do we get there? I know it's a whole course and that it's ongoing, but have you met some of these immortal, incorruptible beings? Have you encountered that?
Well, to be exact, I have masters in my classes, and people wonder why I call them masters. Because in multiple cases, they have actually gone beyond the place where the masters of the Far East generally go, which is just the silencing of mind. If you go beyond it, you actually get to the third major stage of human evolution, and then when you go beyond that, you go into the God Kingdom. But the third stage of human evolution is immortality. And incorruptibility you reach as you progress beyond into the God Kingdom.
But what is the point of it all? What's the ultimate goal? Okay, we've achieved immortality and corruptibility, but what is the, let's call it karmic destiny that we want to ultimately achieve with these states of consciousness?
The ultimate goal of it all is to live in absolute oneness. Now, what does that mean? Because those are words that people bandy about quite a bit. To live in oneness means that even as you play the game of, say, something like relationship, because there's only one being in existence, and relationship cannot exist, that even as you play the game of relationship, you see it for what it is. You know that you are playing with yourself. That to fear another is to fear yourself. That you are gently guiding yourself, sometimes through offenses. And I very much acknowledge that. I wrote a little piece for our, just getting ready to update our blog to a new system, and I just wrote that whether somebody gives you gifts or somebody gives you offenses, all of it is gifts. They are there to simply guide you along the path of oneness. Well, to know the oneness and to live from that level is number one. Number two is that at that point, to surrender fully to life moving through you, instead of trying to conduct your own orchestra, you become the orchestra, and the conductor becomes a self that encompasses everything.
Right. I've met people like that.
The person you've been speaking of, they have a scene where there is an ability for the individual to connect to the oneness.
I have met people I felt have been in that oneness, but some of them have not gotten the idea of the immortality and incorruptibility because nature seems to not be that way. I mean, some of nature is, but nature does corrupt. It does transform. And some of these teachers have gone on that cycle of nature. I think there's a higher cycle of nature that is beyond that. But I guess people play at different levels is what I'm saying, really. And
you're spot on with that one, Alan. See, if one goes into expansion, you think that you are in oneness. And I went into this, what I would call mastery, which is where you live from being a consciousness as vast as the cosmos, having a human experience. And when you're in that level, it's very easy to spot that that person is what one would think of as oneness. Because, the disconnection, the bliss, it's all there. the I am presence, some people call it. The problem is that it is also one of the places you can go into the deepest stagnation. In my own case, the Infinite said, Almin, you're in identity consciousness. I said, what? You know, because I had totally, some years before, lost all form of identifying with this body and mind and emotions. And the Infinite said, you're in identity consciousness. And I said, but that's just not possible. It said, yes, because you identify with the cosmos. In other words, you identify with individuated life. The cosmos still is individuated life. So it is expansion, and it is oneness within formation of life. But there is this depth of experience that lies beyond it, where you realize that you're orchestrating all of life. And that is really what I'm referring to as oneness. And you're very right. It's easy to spot those people, but there is much more beyond that.
Well, that's exciting. I mean, of course, it's great to get at any one of these evolved levels, but what I see is the dissolving of the self into the world soul, if you want to put it that way, you know? So we become all that there is. We are all that there is. And I guess maybe that's the ultimate, is to roll it back up into the oneness. I guess that's what you're saying, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And, you know, we for so long, and I think it's part of this freedom that is this renaissance that we're speaking of. We have for so very long regarded the need to learn, the need to become, the need to become enlightened, and all these things as absolutely the purpose of life. And the more you peel away the illusions, the more you realize that the purpose of life is enjoyment.
It's to live, yes. The purpose of life is to live. That's what a teacher of mine says. He said, everyone wants to ascend and no one wants to live. You know, we're here to live the life force, or have the life force live through us, as pure experience. And again, coming back to art, that is where creation enlivens us as we open up to those realms of poetry, music, and painting, and all the other arts. Life is living through us, and that's the most sublime beauty there is, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And you know, Alan, we had a very interesting experience around this recently, where life's newness needs to be allowed for. I received, along with the oracles, information for interstellar mysticism. Life changed so dramatically all of a sudden. It's like we stepped off a treadmill into this complete freedom. And we were told that the images were, I would say 90% of them, the images and the glyphs and the things that we had gotten had completely changed. Because what they were doing is locking, this is the exact words from the Infinite, they were locking us into mediocrity. Courses are written several months in advance. They were structured around a level of life that changed so dramatically that I have just actually, in the last, what took me 2 days of 6 hours each and 2 hours to redo them. But I had to sit down and redo the images. And my gosh, I mean, there's well over 100 images that had to be completely redone, because they have to be fluid so that life flows through them. They don't dictate to life. And even some of the star language glyphs, which is fascinating, their language changed. And I had to redo the glyphs.
So when you say interstellar mysticism, which was where the program sort of began, go into more detail about the stellar mysticisms. I think you have, but particular races. Could you name a race and describe their mystical culture?
there is a very definite reason why these particular races, 12 of them we know and 12 of them we don't know, because they're made of, the 12 races are so etheric that we can't actually even see the planets with our naked eye. The 12 known races is Arcturus, Antares. We have two races from Andromeda, and the Barugula from Andromeda have been very active in the croglyphs. In fact, the fascinating thing of it is we received a short poem, like a little haiku verse, from the Barugula on singing a croglyph into being.
Can you give us give us the haiku, if you wouldn't mind sharing that?
You know, I'm so sorry. I just handed it next door to Paul Efrim Vial, who is actually manning Almin Wisdom Twitter. But we posted our first poem from the star system last night, and we can put that one on within a day. So if they want to go there, they can take a look. I am so sorry, but it said how he sang this time of hope and peace into the crops to leave his image on the earth. And and it was written by, it was given by the Barugula with their glyphs that they have given us. And so they're one of the races that have been very active with the crop glyphs. The other race from Andromeda is called the Carcina. And then we've got the Pleiades. We've got Sirius. We've got the Plegva, is the race's name, from Alpha Centauri. We have two races from Orion. And the one race is just almost unpronounceable for me, so I'm not even going to try it. The other one is real easy to remember because they're frog-like beings. And their name is Ampha Pa Bian, which is where the word amphibian comes from.
Mm.
And it's so interesting because words like bad in English or saint or santa or santos or whatever it is in Spanish or so forth, that's also, those words are from cosmic languages. And so the Ampha Pa Bian, they're the other race from there. Then we've got Lyra, and we've got the Hathor from Venus. But the Hathor from Venus, what we've uncovered is that their root race is from a planetary system, a binary planetary system, that's called, the one planet is called Kolob, and this information is also in the Mormon scriptures. And the other planet is called Melaganiga. Between Melaganiga and Venus, according to their writings that I translated, there is a like a wormhole. And this is where the Hathor came from. I've only had one other interaction with the Hathor some years ago, and at that time they told me that they had come to a lower density from a higher density, and they came through a tunnel in space, they said. And now I realize where they came from.
I see. So all these different planetary cultures have their own form of mysticism, and I'm sure they have a lot to share with people of the Earth. Can you take one of them and give us a little specific teaching, let's say from the Hathors or the Syrians, of their particular mysticism and how they evolved spiritually as a race of beings? You know what I'm asking?
Yes. They've given us a very timely one. They've given us 144 principles of wisdom. Mm. And even though it's part of a course, and we, of course, work with it far more detail there, we've gone ahead because I just felt with the economic crisis the way it is, that we need it now. And so we've put it on Facebook, these principles of wisdom that have come from the star races directly. We have put it on my Facebook page. We've put it on the Almin Wisdom Twitter, and also the blog. If you go to almindiary.com, there's also areas of wisdom there. On Almeen Wisdom Twitter, there is a page that I answer questions, and that is geared specifically to giving some of the information in these principles. The mysticism that they gave is, now, Alan, I have to tell you something. I have never been part of a yoga class. I have never attended a yoga class. Okay. Not knowing anything about yoga, I was once asked to lecture to a yoga class, but not knowing anything other than that, I received a full body of yoga from them. And it's called, I happen to have it here actually, it's called Irash Sattva Yoga. They say it's the yoga to restore the song of life to man. And how this ties in with the abundance principles is that they say there are 144 points in the body that when the debris is cleared, they become receptive points to the resources of life. So they open the gates of abundance. And there are a specific number of stretching postures, then there are tapping postures, and then there are some postures that hold pressure points. And
wow, that sounds like a whole school of body work you could just bring in right there. That's very exciting.
Yes.
Well,
sorry, could you repeat that?
I said this seems like a whole new school of body work and yoga that you could actually bring to the planet. It's very exciting.
Alan, it's bottomless because they've given us the 144 points. Every point, which I didn't even give because I was trying to keep it for somebody that's a lay person, but there's 100, each one of them has a name that as you tap that point, and if you were to say the name, it further stimulates the release. I had a class here for a week over Christmas, earlier this month, for a Christmas pod, a class is what we call it, at a gathering, and I happened to do the yoga, and there were several people that said, I just had this huge release of toxicity. It was like a purification. I could feel this area of my life open up. My one sister, Anik, who lives up in Portland, she was telling me how she felt these areas open up. She had a knot in her life where there was, a lot of persecution by people of her, and her fight to keep her little daughter was paramount on her mind, and it was said to take place within days afterwards, and they wouldn't bargain, they wouldn't do anything. And she went home after doing this yoga for several nights with me and opening up these points, went home, the entire thing shifted, everything shifted around, tremendous difference that happened in her life. Because it opens the point to receive the blessings.
Wow. Almeen, this is such beautiful work you're bringing through. We're almost out of time here. We'll have to do it again soon. Is there any final words? Do you want to talk a little bit more about the schools coming up, the applied mysticism and the alchemy, just as a kind of final farewell here?
I will, Alan. And so just really quickly, because all of these, the courses that I will re-mention, just there's three coming up for folks to be aware of, all of them are geared towards mastery of cosmic resources and living a life that's free and full. The first one is a one-month course starting the 1st of January. It prepares you for 3 weeks for the fourth week. The fourth week, you receive the most powerful mystical manifestation device on Earth, the Key Vesta. It is true that we allow life to flow through us, but the quality of our journey, we have every right to raise to the highest possible levels, to raise the bar. And the Key Vesta is this device that you learn how to wield and use. It totally replaces old things like, for instance, the tarot. That is in the Alchemy of the One, starting on the 1st of January. We have
okay.
the Institute of Applied Mysticism that brings two courses, the beginning of February, the Interstellar Mysticism, and the very important course, which we're running again because of its significance, the Science of Immortality and Incorruptibility. It's time for man to arise in his majesty and his glory among the star races, to become an immortal being that is a master of the circumstances and the quality of the journey. Alan, thank you for having me, my friend. It's just always such a delight when we are together. I very much appreciate it.
I very much appreciate you as well. And, you know, you're one of the few people who really is going for the really big picture, the opening up of our cosmic potentials. It's inspiring to know people like you are seeing so far beyond the Earth plane. That's what I find exciting about your work. So I've been talking to Almeen. Her main website is spiritualjourneys.com, and all the other schools she mentioned are on there as well. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, and actually some past interviews with Almeen are on my website, newrealities.com. So please take a look there. If you want to reach me, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. And, our television show will be up this week as well. I did its program with Almeen. That will be on YouTube. So, Almeen, thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you, Alan. My love always.
And I look forward, bye-bye. And we will talk again soon. Feel free to call me and collaborate on any ideas that come to you that we can work on together.
Thank you, Alan. I'll do that.
Thanks. Have a beautiful night.
Bye.